those of you that weren't here during a Bible study, I'll just mention again, I missed Halloween by a week. This was my Halloween outfit, but actually I had a basal cell carcinoma, skin cancer cut out around my ear. And don't let stuff like that go. That was extremely painful. Extremely painful. But anyway, I have this compression wrap because it wouldn't really stop bleeding because of where it was cut and pain and all that. So just a compression wrap. Didn't have brain surgery or anything like that. But my surgeon guy was an older fella and a good sense of humor. He said, well, I said, well, how long do I have to wear this? He said, well, yeah, leave it on at least Monday. Okay. Donna says, he's going to go to church and preach the word. So he says, well, I could wrap him all over and go in as Lazarus, except you missed Halloween by a week. I said, well, I could put a towel on my head and just say I converted to Islam, but one of my security guys might shoot me for thinking I'm a terrorist. So I hate when that happens. So anyway, that's why if it bothers you, just look at your Bible. Yeah, you have to learn to, well, different things. One, don't take yourself so serious. I had to be here today because I have a word from the Lord that I've had for 4 months. This message I'm going to share, the inspiration of it came last July. And sometimes God will stir something in you as visionary or with a word or to preach, and it's down the road, but it's today's message. So anyway, I said, Donald, I have to go. Yeah. I mentioned, Troy, I remember some years ago, there was a lady who, they don't attend here anymore, but they weren't at church that week, and they were always there. So I inquired, well, why weren't they there? Donna checked, and here the lady had a pimple on her face, so she decided not to come to church. That's what I call vanity. You know, we should not ever be so moved by outward appearances and things that we let that dictate what we know we should do. And so here I am. Oh, my. Just said, well, I'm born. You know, it's like, it's kind of funny to me. So, anyway, here I am. It is our 43rd year anniversary. Praise the Lord. And God's doing a work. I don't have the time to go into all that, what he's done. But in recent weeks, I've been sharing some of the visionary aspects as we are releasing some other leaders to step into things. And I do want to say this, though. I really appreciate so much the faithfulness in so many of you. It's so, so precious. Don't ever take it for granted if there's somebody in your life that's faithful in the relationship, because some people don't have that at all, or for some it's rare. You can have people be a part of your life, and maybe God sends them somewhere else. Sometimes people separate because of strife or division or whatever, offenses, people separate. But we want to be a person like God who is faithful to the end. He'll be faithful to you to the end, faithful what he called you to do. I know there's work for me to do, so therefore I must be healed to do the work. And when my work's done, beam me up, Scotty. You know, no point hanging around down here once the work's over. But there's a lot of work to be done. And I'm as committed to that as ever. And I appreciate those of you that are. At the end of this month, I want to do another meal for you. I used to do every, when it was five Sundays, quarterly, a meal and communion, and make the meal. Of course, I'd do soups and salads because I do a lot of that the day before. just to say thank you. To say thank you, to do something tangible, say thank you for the serving and the faithfulness. And I think it's always important. We're thankful not only to God for all he's done, but also the people that are in our life. So I'm excited. You know, the COVID, you had a conviction about, well, we're not going to stop coming to worship, but God doesn't command us to have food together. So therefore, I drew a line there during the COVID. It's like I have a conviction here, but I can't say I'm convicted we have to eat together. That is a blessing, though. And then with what I went through in the last year, health-wise, I couldn't really do it. But I'm getting stronger. And I'm purposed to make some zuppa Toscana for you again. yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. We'll have communion then at that time. All right, open your Bible to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. This is an Election Day message. Election Day is Tuesday. Hallelujah. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. The gospel of God, the gospel of Christ alone is the power of God to save. Salvation incorporates being saved from sin, delivered from evil, preserved, protected, healed. It incorporates all of that. The Greek word sozo for salvation incorporates all of that. Salvation, we need to always have God as our source of salvation, healing, deliverance, newness of life, blessing in him. It's always begins with the gospel. Hallelujah. In that, in the gospel, righteousness is revealed, or a right standing with God, coming into relationship with God, is only known by way of the gospel. And the gospel, in a nutshell, is that God so loved the world, he sent his only son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have life everlasting. He that believes not is condemned already, it says there in John 3. The gospel is that you could not pay for your own son. You could never be good enough. You could never save yourself. But God himself, in his love and grace and mercy, sent Jesus to die for you, to shed his blood, which alone could pay for your sin. We all deserve to go to hell. So don't ever ask for what you deserve. You deserve hell. But God was rich in mercy and gracious to us to give us life through Jesus Christ. We can enter into the kingdom of God and partake all the life of God. And it's revealed to us from faith to faith, from the faith of one who has that revelation speaking, in that case there, Paul, to the faith of the one hearing who can receive it and it become real to them. Now I'm going to come back. I'll finish on these verses, but I want to go down through verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. Now God is going to pour out his wrath, but his wrath, according to, I think it's Ephesians 2, near on verse 3, is for the children of disobedience. His wrath's not for his children, for the children of disobedience, those who are following Satan or aligned with him. So what we're going to see here, I'll just mention in with this here, that the church is the hindering force to the Antichrist spirit. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 speaks that very clearly to us. It's the church that's a hindrance. That's why Satan wants to, if possible, kill Christians, lead us away from God, destroy the church and the witness and the testimony. We are a hindrance to him, but he can't just kill us all. If he could, he would. And we will be taken up in the rapture. We will be removed by God, not by the devil. The devil didn't remove Jesus. Jesus, I had the power to lay down my life, the power to take it up again. Satan thought he killed him. No, he didn't. Jesus laid down his life. Well, he's going to take up the church, and then the wrath will be poured out. Now, whether pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib is not the issue. I have certain views on that, but it's not really important. What's important is you know him, and you're going to walk with him to the end and bring glory and honor to him by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what's important. Sometimes people, they'll take certain doctrinal things and want to argue about, and they miss the other things. Like Pharisees, Jesus addressed them. You know, you want to, like, cut off a mint leaf and then slice a tenth of that off for a tithe, but you're not paying attention to walking in faith and walking in love. So, you know, we want to major on the majors, minor on the minors. So the fact is, though, he has died for us. The gospel gives salvation. The power of God will deliver us, and the wrath of God will be poured out on those who reject Jesus Christ, who will not be taken up in the rapture, who will suffer the wrath of God and the judgment. Now, at the end of that seven-year period, Satan himself will be cast into hell, and all of his demons with him, and the Lord returned to set up the millennial reign. Well, that's not what my message is about, but I just wanted to qualify this with about the wrath of God. It's not for you. It's for those who reject Christ. Oh, well, that's not merciful. To reject Christ is the most serious thing you could ever do. They hold the truth in unrighteousness, or they reject truth, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even by his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, God can be known and seen in nature, in creation. You know, back when we had high school, we would take the high school students to a place called Spruce Lake Outdoor School. It was a Christian-run thing, and they would do all this various nature study and then share on how each thing was a reflection of God as creator. You know, there was a big move made for years now to try to deny creation and say there's evolution. That's right from the pit of hell. That's right from the devil's mouth. A person who embraces that, I'm going to tell you something. They're not saved. They don't know God, and they're not going to heaven until they change this thing. There's this idea, well, if someone's nice, they'll go to heaven. Nice people burn in hell too. Either we could never save ourselves, and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way of salvation, Acts 4:12, but through him. Either that's true or it's not. We can't just snip those out of our Bible. There's only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. Only he could pay for our sin. And to try to embrace anything else is automatically throw someone into trusting in their own works, their own ability, their own goodness. And it's really an affront to God. It's bad. It says, verse 21, because when they knew God, or they encountered him, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, there are times people encounter the Lord. It could be on a just personal level, like maybe in a dream or something like that. Or it could be through a Christian, which is how most people will, who speaks of him. And they have a choice to make. Every time you encounter the Lord, there's a choice. Accept or reject. Submit or resist. Every time. And the reason why some people grow up in a Christian home, go to church, maybe even a Christian school, and turn out to be the worst rebels you can find, the reason for that is, along the way, they were saying no, 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 no. And their heart would get more and more hardened and darkened. Till then, once they're away from the parental control, then they just go wild. That's why that happens. The thing is, in parenting, you have to bring your children to repentance. There were times already we'd paddle our sons more than once. If we discerned they didn't repent, they'd be brought to repentance. We all need to be brought to repentance. If you allow sin just to continue, slowly, you get a little harder where you're resistant to hearing the Spirit of God. That's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Well, their heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, you have a lot of people out there who say, well, I have a college degree. I'm a mental egghead. You know, I'm this and I'm that. But if they deny Christ, according to Scripture, right here, I just read, they're fools. It says in, I think it's Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there's no God. Anybody who says there's no God's a fool, according to the Word of God. They changed the glory of incorruptible God to an image made like corruptible man and to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart and to dishonor their bodies between themselves and changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. You know, when you hear about Hinduism, you hear literally they worship a rat or a banana tree or anything of creation. They will literally worship and make offerings and sacrifices to it. And we think, well, that's silly. But here, when materialistic, people might worship their Corvette, their house, or their children, or whatever, something else. And only the Lord's worthy. Our Savior. What's that mean? He saved me from sin. Sin brought death and separation from God, destruction. He saved me from that through his own death. Now, when I had this cancer cut off, I felt like I was in a torture chamber because the pain was, I think I was close to going into shock, passing out. The pain was so bad. And Don and I were talking about it later. Then just a change of wrap. It was excruciating again Friday. And Donna quipped. Makes you think about what Jesus went through, doesn't it? I didn't go through anything like what he did. Now, how was that? I was close, I think, to just passing out. You know, your body going into shock. The doctor said, you better stop breathing. Like, you're going to hyperventilate. I can't help it. I mean, was that my options were breathe like that or scream? I didn't scream, but I sort of felt like it. I didn't want to scare the other people out in the waiting room. I think, oh, my God, let's get out of here. This guy's torturing these people. Oh, it's horrible. But Jesus went through so much more. That's why he's worthy of everything you have, all that you are, your very innermost being. He's worthy of it all. We can never lose sight of that. Well, it says that God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart. They changed the truth of God into a lie. They worshiped creation more than him. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, even to their women, to change natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise, men leaving the natural use of the woman. Now, here it's directly in the New Testament addressing this issue with homosexuality and lesbianism. Okay. It says, man did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. When you have a reprobate mind, it means there's no more conviction about sin. Sometimes people wonder, well, did I lose my salvation? As long as there's still conviction, you didn't. But when you get to where you blaspheme the Holy Ghost and completely reject him out, there is no more conviction of sin. And there's no way back. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murders, debates, deceit, malignantly, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitfulness, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. It sounds like the news report today, doesn't it? Sounds like what's going on today. There it is, right in Scripture, 2,000 years ahead of time. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, if you celebrate people who are indulged in sin like that, you're guilty of it as well. And there's this view trying to be propagated to the body of Christ. Well, you need to accept us and celebrate us. No, you don't. To do that, see, to condone sin or to be supportive of it is to condone it, which makes you guilty of it as well. It's like if you have, you'll hear today someone gets beat, getting beaten on the sidewalk, whatever. No one does anything or standing or watching, maybe videoing it, hoping they can sell it to a news organization. You're guilty of it too. If you were to drive a car to someone who's robbing a bank, according to law, you're guilty as well. You're part of it. So either we stand for truth or you're in agreement with darkness. You can't, there's nothing in between there. And sometimes people are just afraid of the consequence of standing up against evil, but you should be more afraid of what happens if you don't. You know, there was a saying that all it takes for evil to triumph is good men to do nothing. Okay, now I want to go to Proverbs chapter 6. We'll come back here in Romans 1, the gospel. But I want to give you the criteria for voting. Scriptural criteria. Now, we recognize all the evil that's all around us increasing, and the Bible shows us that will increase more and more in the end times. So don't think it's strange. This is just part of it. You need to draw near to God more than ever. But Proverbs 6:16 says, "These six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination." God hates these things. He doesn't just say, well, yes, too bad you kind of got that little sin over there. We'll look the other way. He hates it. And for him to hate it and to be an abomination, to enter into that is to bring judgment upon yourself or in our tolerance of it as a nation, to bring judgment on our nation. A proud look. There was a certain person running for president a few years ago. I have these pictures of herself like this. Looking down her nose at everybody. That's a proud look. You see people carry themselves like that. And it's speaking real loud. A lying tongue. There's an individual in a great place of power in our nation today who lies every time he opens his mouth. I mean every time. He just makes stuff up. You know the saying, how do you know they're lying? When their lips are moving. Hands that shed innocent blood. That's talking about abortion. To embrace abortion or even to say, well, you know, you should have a choice. We don't want to offend anybody. God hates that. Those innocent lives are precious in his sight, and that will incur judgment. Praise God, our Supreme Court finally reversed that as far as a national position because that was bringing judgment on our nation. And a lot of Christians, they go, oh, well, because we were founded with a good foundation, everything's cool, everything's good. No, it's not. Not with that going on. But God is rich in mercy, and he still has a plan and purpose for this nation. And you're living in it. You're born here. We are citizens of this country. And God wants us to take the gospel throughout the nations. And that's why we're so wealthy here in the United States, is to finance the gospel to the nations. It's not because we're more righteous. Hands that shed innocent blood. He hates that. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Swift running to mischief, which is speaking to the whole perversion, especially sexual perversion, but also to violence, to run to mischief. And a false witness that speaks lies. If you turn your TV on, you see almost nothing but commercials saying how evil the other person running is. And most of it, in many cases, I know some of it to be lies, not just an opinion. It's a lie. Today, the thing with the false witness that's so prominent is if you disagree with something, you're a racist or homophobe. What are all the sayings they have? You're this, that, and the other. To want to accuse you. But Revelation 12:11 says Satan's called the accuser of the brethren. He accuses you to condemn so that you keep your mouth shut, so you back off. A false witness. I hate that stuff going on out there. It's just unrestrained. And the seventh, he that sows discord among the brethren. All this identity politics is nothing but serving a purpose to divide by creating identities and say, you're a this and you're a that, so you need to vote for us. It's very, very evil, and it's an old, old thing, divide and conquer, to cause division among us. What's really sad is when the body of Christ enters into division with one another rather than coming together around the lordship of Jesus Christ. If you think everyone has to agree with you to walk with anybody, you'll end up walking alone because people have different points of view and so forth. But there are some things you can't compromise. Jesus Christ alone by his blood could save us. No compromise. Jesus Christ is Lord. The word of God, the Bible is the inspired word of God. No compromise there. That was sowing discord. God hates that. Now, when it comes to voting, just read Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. And there it is. Don't vote for people that operate in that. Now, there's one party who's become completely that. And I'm not about parties. But there's one, the demon rats. They are complete. Those verses complete. Why? Because they're emboldened in their sin and their rebellion against God. But here's the other thing. Back to Romans 1. The two things really brought out there. It's one, sexual sin. And two is the whole environmental worship of creation. That's what Romans 1 is addressing. And that's the driving thing behind a lot of this stuff that's going on. There's no listening to truth or reason or considering one another. They'll justify violence because, like a Supreme Court justice made a decision based on our Constitution that abortion should be a state's issue, not a federal issue. So they wanted to kill him. Again, God hates all that stuff. Now, I remember a couple years ago, before one of the elections, I was watching a news program, and they had a rabbi on there. The interviewer said, why is it? And at that point, Obama was president, and he was doing everything to undermine Israel. And Trump, I'm not making it about pot, it's just history, okay? He brought us back into supporting Israel. If a nation stops blessing Israel, they bring a curse upon themselves, according to Genesis 12:3. But this man asked this rabbi, why do the Jews still support these people? And immediately, he knew the answer is because of sexual sin. There's a lot of people out there in this country that sexual sin drives all of that, and they're looking to man and government to be able to enable them to continue to pursue now all this perversion that's out there where they're wanting to teach sexual perversion to kindergarten kids. How perverse is this? That's where we're at. Now, the other thing is the worship of creation. Oh, shut every coal plant down in the country. The president said that just this week. Any electricity you're going to get is out of a wind plant. What happens when the wind don't blow? Well, it'd be solar. What happens when the sun doesn't shine? You don't have anything. And that's how insane these people are to do all this stuff here. But it's the worship of creation, and sexual sin is a driver of a lot of this stuff. But it's all these lies covering things over. But now they're so emboldened, it's becoming very apparent about everybody. So here we have this election coming, and there may be a red wave. There may be, of course, now they beat a drum constantly. Don't be an election denier. Don't say why would they do that? Because they did it before, and they're planning to do it again, I'm sure. But that's not the issue here. The point I want to make is government is not the solution. Law isn't going to change the heart of anyone. laws restrain evil. And that's only if there's punishment. Of course, you have those wackos in a lot of these cities saying, let murderers out of prison the next day. That's why so many police are quitting. It's like, what's the point of risking my life to arrest these people? You just let them right out. It's futility. That's because the Antichrist spirit's behind it, wanting chaos. So it's good if we can elect people who will want to bring order where there's chaos. That's good. But here's the word I want to impart into you. Don't ever allow man or government to be your source. Because whether we have a good government or not, it doesn't change our covenant. It doesn't change the fact we have the Holy Ghost. It doesn't change the fact that we can believe God for deliverance and protection and safety and prosperity and health and healing. It doesn't change anything. It just gives us more to deal with. It's nice if we have it nice if we'll serve the Lord all the more. But sometimes if there's less pressure, people will serve him less and put their hand more to worldly pleasure. Which then we're just going to end up like Israel back in the book of Judges, continuing going back, backwards, backwards, backwards. The solution is not government. It always alarms me when I have other pastors and I'll hear them getting more focused on politics than the gospel. I'm very alarmed because I know their eyes are not on the Lord as they should be. And there are certain groups, because they deny the power of the Holy Ghost, they'll put a lot of effort on politics. Because everybody wants a better life. The better life's in Christ. It's nice if you're blessed in the natural, but that can come regardless of what's going on around you through your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Can't buy me love, you know. Can't buy peace. So the gospel is the answer. Regardless of the outcome of this election, I'm hoping evil people get pushed out. But ultimately, at the end, we see prophetically in the scripture, ultimately, at the very end, Antichrist will be controlling everything. You know, we're very close to the end. Things are being put into place for a one-world government, one-world currency, digital currency, complete control. But we don't know how much time we have yet. If our hearts for the kingdom, our hearts should be, God, I want to see as many come into your kingdom as possible. Give us more time for that. Not make it easier for me. Lord, we need more time that the harvest can come in. So that's why we continue to push back against evil, that the purpose of God can be fulfilled. Paul said again, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And that needs to continue to be our focus. The gospel that God's love was there for everyone. The most vile sinner that you could imagine, he loves them too. He died for them too. So great was his love. So great was his mercy, no matter what's been done. We can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The power of the blood is able to cleanse us of all sin, all unrighteousness, to where we become a vessel the Holy Spirit can come into. And it's by the power of the Holy Ghost that we'll live and serve him and bring glory to God. So, vote. Vote right. Little pun in there. Vote right. Don't vote demon. But regardless of how that turns out, regardless, it doesn't change anything for us. I remember back in 92, I guess it was, Bill Clinton ran. You know, we were promoting and supporting involvement with those things, and heavy commitment to intercessory prayer for our nation. And I remember a lot of discouragement came on a lot of Christians because it didn't work out the way they thought. Some of you are old enough to remember that, some of you not. A lot of discouragement came to the body of Christ. The only reason you get discouraged because you're looking to something to change in the natural. And we can't be moved by that or governed by that. Traveling to different nations with missions, some of the frustrations our brothers and sisters have to deal with in other countries, I mean, I marvel at how they go through it and handle it. But it's all a matter of perspective. Keeping my eyes on Jesus and knowing the gospel is the power of God. So if you want to see change in this world, it's not through politics. It's through the gospel. And you can carry that to someone around you. Your testimony, your showing forth the love of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, showing that forth that someone might have that moment of awakening, quickening, of pondering, and they see and hear the testimony and consider Jesus and come out of darkness into life. If you're all saved, you had that moment somewhere in your life. But it's up to us to be a light, persevere, keep moving forward in Him.